Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. 20,000 Ford F-150 Lightnings took deposits on for like the first like hour and a half of that thing.
So to make mine. I need to hurry up with my pre-order. I need that truck.
I know.
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the show where we sometimes shop in real time, but we always try to make today make sense.
I don't even know what that means. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's Happy Hour Friday. Economics on Tap is what we call it. The live stream is up. I think the Discord is running too. I'm not hip enough to be there quite yet. I've got too many screens in front of me as it is. And there we go. I think we're ready.
The Discord is cooking with gas. It's all happening everywhere. Right. I should click into the live stream and just see what everybody's drinking. But yeah, we're ready. We're doing some news. I did, as promised, I'm very excited about this.
What?
Wait, hold on. I have to stop the YouTube from playing the video. I did make myself a little bourbon and lemonade concoction with a teeny bit of maple syrup. I didn't have time for a little thyme floater or whatever, but I'm excited about this.
I think I'm opposed to maple syrup in adult beverages, just as a general position.
I don't know why. That's what I thought, and I almost didn't add it. I was like, yeah, that's not necessary. But now that I have tried it, turns out it was. It is delicious.
All right, very good.
It's very sweet.
I've got my usual go-to. It's my refrigerator is almost bare. Dig My Earth Hazy Double IPA. It's good. It's good. I need something different. I need to get a different beer. Aww. I should go shopping.
It's
all good.
I like the devil.
It's okay,
ones,
you know.
Though.
And I'm. And I've got.
Maybe it's a mood.
So you know, not too much beer. All right.
Yeah. Same. There's the tiniest bourbon float. Tiny. And for those of you wondering why I have TV hair today, it's because there was TV.
Oh, did you do TV today?
I did CNBC this morning, yeah.
I did the
exchange. I know. I think it's because I love this little rapid-fire thing where I only have to say a thing for like three things of 90 seconds each. And then they like it because I always say something crazy, like kids be wanting to hook up after a year in
lockdown. Wow. Woo. Let's get those letters and cards coming to the FCC, folks. Yeah. Molly Wood on CNBC.
I might not be back on that show. So enjoy the TV hair one day only.
I wonder if your 14-year-old son watches CNBC. I'm just, you know, just saying. You can back
it's a good
own.
Story. It's apparent the Biden administration, I guess, is trying to get the dating apps to include little badges. Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, that's genius. They're capitalizing on FOMO. Fear of missing
out.
Cupid
says if you Cupid says if you boost your vax status, you're 14% more likely to hook up. So
I mean, I believe it.
The video, did you see the video of Andy Slavitt and Fauci making that announcement today? Andy Slavitt looked like he'd rather have been dead.
That is amazing because clearly
Fauci,
young and cool,
just smiling. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. Clearly someone young and cool on their staff was like, this is a great idea. Trust me. You got to go with it. The kids only respond to FOMO and, you know, hooking up.
Here you go, middle-aged man. Go out and sell this to the public.
Oh, man. So you're bad for me right here.
No. All right.
So let's get to the purpose of this podcast, shall we?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes.
So I'll go first just because I'm going to give the headline and I'm going to say what amazes me about this story and then you're going to go off on it. And I did it early because I wanted to beat you to it. So
I was
Epic, maker of among other things, Fortnite, right? So super popular video game company, is suing Apple over basically the App Store and how much money Apple takes from app developers in the App Store. 30% is the number. Huge trial, massively important, but today was Tim Cook's day on the witness stand. He is, of course, the CEO of Apple. And I was following this on Twitter on and off throughout the morning. And two things struck me. Number one, he's just really dry and boring, Tim Cook. But number two, also, he's full of it. Because at several turns throughout the course of his cross-examination, Mr. Cook was asked how much money Apple makes from the App Store. And Cook literally said, we've never added it up. I don't know. We don't check. Yeah. And I just, it's not plausible. It's simply not plausible.
That's where I agree.
I got it. Tim Cook is full of it.
But wasn't he under oath? Are they under oath when they do this?
Yes, they are under oath. Yeah. But still,
I mean, well, of course he is. This is not a congressional hearing. This is literally court. So he is under oath and he sat there and was like, we don't calculate the profit margin of the App Store. And then said, I don't know how much Google pays us either, by the way. It was like, I don't know. They pay us some amount.
And you're like, come on. Yeah. Well, so listen. So here's the exchange. Mr. Bornstein, the Epic's lawyer, says, and this is cross-examination, right? So it's a hostile witness. Sir, he says to Tim Cook, it's a very lucrative arrangement for Apple. Am I right about that? And Cook says, they pay us money. I just.
Senator, we sell ads. They pay us money.
That's exactly what that is. That's exactly what
money.
That is.
And then, and by the way, when Tim Cook says they pay us money, that amount of money is expected to be, at least according to Justice Department filings, between $8 billion and $12 billion every year.
Every year.
So, I mean, this does tell you potentially how much money Apple actually makes just on selling iPhones. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
Apple's primary business by a mile is still selling iPhones. After that, they sell you some Macs and some iPads and a bunch of accessories. Like, you know, it's probably like within a minute, it's going to be iPhones and AirPods. That's how they make all their money. And after that, another $8 to $12 billion is like not worth keeping track of.
I
also don't find it totally plausible that he, I mean, I don't think he's the kind of guy to lie under oath. But it is hard to imagine a scenario in which they have not added up the amount that the App Store makes.
There is somebody very high up in that company who knows to the penny how much they're making out of the App Store. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my news. And I just
honestly, this trial has been fascinating and has led to so many kind of like mini bombshells. The other one that came out the other day was Craig Federighi, who is in charge of the Mac division, saying, because to be clear, like the big argument by Tim Cook and by Apple about its App Store rules is they are for the safety of the user. That's why they're like, we vet these apps. Yep. We don't let them do whatever thing they want. We don't let them like drive you crazy with in-app payments or trick your kids into using your credit card. It is all about you and your security and your safety on this platform. We just want you to have a lovely experience that we've curated for you perfectly, like a 5-star Michelin restaurant. 3-star. Yeah. That's their whole jam. And along with that is this idea that Macs are more secure and that's why you buy them. And they have like this top-notch world-class security. It's like Fort Knox over here. And Craig Federighi went on under oath and was like, oh, no, our security is a mess. Macs are completely vulnerable to virus attacks. And it happens all the time. I just want someone to sort of like do a little listicle of like most amazing bombshells, such as we don't even bother to count how much money we make from our App Store.
We make so much money we don't have to count it. That's the bottom line of this testimony. It's like they give us so much money we don't know. We just take the suitcases full. Yeah. That's it.
And Mac security? Ooh, no. You do not want to use that on an open network. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea. So here's a thing that is a bad idea. And that is the app citizen. It's maybe just a bad idea in general. Like, you don't need to be that freaked out about anything. For those who are not familiar, Citizen is an app that you can put on your phone that essentially scans aggregates publicly available crime data from police bands and emergency radio bands, along with user-generated reports of crime or fires or emergencies in your area.
Right.
And encourages people to, because it's called Citizen, encourages people in some cases to, like, go to the fire and right. take some video in the interest of informing people. And so it's always – there's a lot of controversy attached to it, of course, because these sorts of apps, like, encourage a lot of racial profiling, not to mention encouraging people to put themselves in harm's way. And they raise the paranoia level significantly because if you're on Citizen, you think that, like, there's a carjacking every 20 minutes in your neighborhood. Now, evidently, according to some leaked emails that were reported by Vice, Citizen has ambitions to deploy private security workers to the scene of disturbances at the request of app users. Yeah. So they're just going to go ahead and create a private paramilitary force that's on demand so that any old person in the burbs can be like, ooh, there is a black person in my neighborhood. I'm going to need the private security force because that is what is going to happen. Like, this is the worst idea.
Absolutely. It's
just absolutely astonishing. Astonishing.
Full stop.
And by the way, the like kicker, the last quote in this story is a former employee saying, honestly, Citizen as an app simply doesn't need to exist. And it's more and more apparent as the months go on that leadership is just a bunch of scum, the former employee said.
Wow, I missed that
one. Just put that one at the end. Yeah, you got to go all the way to the bottom of the story for that one. Don't do that, I think, is the is the answer to that. And then on Update Watch, a lot of people have been talking about this WeWork story today. A lot of folks about how WeWork reported a quarterly loss of nearly $2.1 billion ahead of its public listing via SPAC, blank check.
Yep.
SPAC, which, by the way, SPACs have been taking a beating, turns out. Some of those investments.
Oh, just getting whacked. Yeah.
Not great. I'm as shocked as you that when you sneak some rando into a party, he trashes the place. So I just think that in the interest of accuracy, it's important to point out that, yes, WeWork reported a first quarter net loss of $2.06 billion, but that $800 million of that was just because they had to pay Adam Neumann to go away and dump a bunch of real estate. $494 million was restructuring, where they had to buy back stock from SoftBank because SoftBank was like, we are not investing in you anymore. They had to give Adam Neumann hundreds of millions of dollars and then spend another $300 million again. So that's not going to happen every quarter. Maybe they're fine. They're not fine.
But do you in the public market want to be in this company? Now, so that's the one side. The other side is, as we reopen, right, and people are looking for third spaces, which is not their living room, their same four walls, and it's not the office. Maybe they're looking for some, you know, membershipy kind of thing where they can go to a nice, useful place and have a moment and sit there and work and have a cup of coffee. Maybe that'll work. I don't know. But there are a lot of unknowns with this company. And as you go to the public market, unknowns are bad.
Absolutely.
That's the deal.
Like,
right.
I think that is all 100% true in terms of their unknowns. I also think, yes, there's a great opportunity for them coming out of this. Because if you are going to stay remote in some way or you move to a different town, you still might want a WeWork. Like, the business could do well.
Yeah.
It's just that you got to trust their management.
Yeah. So here's Michael L. in the YouTube chat saying on that third space thing, that's Starbucks. And I agree. That was Starbucks like 8 or 9 years ago. I don't think it's Starbucks today.
Right? Yeah.
I don't think it's Starbucks today anymore. Was.
Honestly, it's because you always get your laptop stolen, at least according to Citizen. No, I'm just kidding. That does happen, though.
Terrible. You're terrible.
Oh, WeWork is just a little more secure and for phone calls and stuff.
Yes. Yes. Totally. Okay. So very brief detour on the way to Marketplace Heartthrob, Drew Jostad, and his appearance on this podcast. We're going to talk for 40 seconds tops about monthly gifts to Marketplace and Make Me Smart. It is, of course, fundraising season. Molly and I appreciate all that you can do. $7 a month gets you Molly's favorite piece of swag, the mason jar mug, the liquid assets. I don't know. Are you using it today? You're not using it today, are you?
Well, so I just thought it would be a really large drink.
Oh.
considering that bourbon was involved. So I went with a much smaller glass. Also, the truth is, it's in the dishwasher. Okay, I'm going to have to be 100% honest. Right. I've used it every single day since I got it, and it's in the dishwasher. But it is that good. It's great. Turns out all a mason jar ever wanted was a handle. So smart.
Yep. Yep.
Doesn't get all sweaty. It's great. And you have to really, I think, check out the tote bag because this is exactly the kind of thing that I love, which is that we have this summer tote. Is it over? Did the tote end? I have to ask the...
I don't know.
Let's talk about it. I'm not good at keeping track of when is what.
Giving
I hope it didn't end.
If they don't like it.
And maybe they can extend the special period of the tote because it is beautiful and it was a design by...
So well done.
So by Audie Norman at Oddly Normal on Twitter, who's such a great artist. And so even if you didn't get the tote, I'm just going to use this as another opportunity to shout him out. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
But look at our cute fundraising team being so clever.
Absolutely. Marketplace.org/givesmart. Monthly donations help us out. They help you out. They take the load off you for having to give, you know, every now and then. You can just say, no, check's in the mail or the processing is in the mail. We'd appreciate it. That's the name of that game. Drew Jostad.
We would.
Save us from ourselves. Okay. Marketplace heartthrob Drew Jostad is back. The game is half full, half empty. Our predictions, our feelings, our innermost thoughts on five? Do we do five? Yes, five topics. Drew.
Something like that.
Hit it.
Are you half full or are you half empty on the child tax credit?
Oh, my goodness.
Because that starts now, right? This is a really serious topic to start off with. Woo.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So it starts July 15th. I made a smooth duck-duck-go there. Families making less than $400,000 can claim the full child tax credit.
Yep.
And it depends, according to some experts, on how successfully the IRS can deploy it. But if it goes out to people, it does seem like it's going to make a significant financial difference.
Yeah.
Judging from the data that came in as a result of the stimulus checks that went out, I could imagine that, yes, putting this much money into the American economy is going to be really significant. Half full.
Yeah, totally agree. Half full. Child care is infrastructure. I will say that the IRS is being a tad bit abused here, right, because they have to do all this relief plan stuff and also process tax returns, of which mine is one of them, and there are like hundreds of thousands of returns behind because they're doing all this other stuff. But half full. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Half full or half empty on the 2021 Olympics?
I'm so glad you brought this up because I'm a little bit of both. Like, on the one hand, I feel like we need it so badly emotionally because the Olympics are so wonderful and sincerely inspiring, and they always make me want to go to the gym. On the other hand, that should not happen. That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
They probably shouldn't do that. Especially not in Japan where they've had these outbreaks. Oh, you're going to get sued. They don't mess around.
I love that. Really? Oh, well, that's bad. So, two things. Number one, I'm half full for all the reasons Molly said. I love the Olympics. I like to watch them. Even with all the American Broadcast Network homerism that they do, because, God, will you cut it out. But I read the other day that only 3% of the Japanese population is vaccinated. And that's kind of a problem. And I think it's really challenging to have a global event, even if you limit in-person spectators, with that kind of infrastructure. So I'm half full on the idea. I'm dubious about the reality. And we're like, what are we now? Like 6 weeks out, 8 weeks out, something? Yeah.
And most people in Japan who have been polled don't want it to happen. Like, don't think that it's a good idea. Don't think it's safe. I mean, I truly cannot imagine. I guess I'm half full in the sense that I cannot imagine a scenario in which they cancel it at this late date, but I don't think it's a good idea.
Am I really going to get sued for humming that logo?
No.
Anyway, okay.
You're going to try it again, in case?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, come on, NBC, come get me. I would just like to shout out Sarah Schlosser here on the YouTube chat. Where is Drew's video?
I agree.
Look, if Molly and I can do video, Drew can do video. I'm just saying.
Come on, Drew.
You have any idea how many screens I have in this studio right now?
Yes,
I need one
shut
more.
Up. All we need is a little webcam. We don't need a screen
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, you don't have to look at yourself. The best is not. Yeah, right. You can't look at yourself.
All right. Hide self view. Have you learned nothing on Zoom the past year? Come on.
We'll get it going.
Moving on.
Little webcam.
Are you half full or half empty on the end of Internet Explorer?
Oh, poor
Internet Explorer is ending? I hate it.
It is effectively and for all intents and purposes
wow.
ending. But aren't they just sticking with Edge?
I mean,
here's why I'm weirdly half full on Internet Explorer ending. And it's because it is proof to us that no behemoth lasts forever. There is hope that eventually all monopolies do, in fact, topple over and disappear. Because Internet Explorer was like well over 90% of the market. I mean, it owned everything. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I guess that was the root of the
antitrust case against Microsoft, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yep,
I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then Netscape came along. It has been around, by the way, for 26 years. I think it's going to get, even though everyone completely hates it, it's unusable for, you know, things like browsing the web and things. It is going to get the blockbuster treatment because it's like, oh, man, really? That's what I grew up on.
This is so funny. So, yeah. Althea McMurrian, Edge is bad. Ian Panzer, 1 second later, Edge is pretty good. So, you know.
Oh. So we have both there. Half full and half empty.
Yeah. Hey, super real quick. Donna says the tote is still around. Just saying.
Thank goodness. Okay, good.
Just a quick Slack check.
Get the tote.
Everybody wants to see you on camera, by the way, Drew. I'm just saying.
Just FaceTime us real quick.
Yeah.
You know. God, did I get an answer from you on that Internet Explorer thing, or are you abstaining?
I'm not an IE guy. I don't care. How about I'm half? I don't care.
Okay.
All right. look at him.
Are you half full or half empty on marathon season?
Oh. Interesting. So Mitchell had a story this morning on MMR, the Marketplace Morning Report, with host David Brancaccio, talking about the economic impact of marathon season, which is starting now with all the marathons are delayed, right? So Boston's going to be this fall, and New York's going to be this fall, and all the big ones, and huge economic impact. I just run, man. I'm half meh.
I like to watch the part. I'm half full, and this is why, because I sort of perversely and somewhat anyway, I perversely like to watch the part where they crawl across the field. Like, it's a really dramatic sport at the end. So when people are just, like, doing anything to make it. I mean, this goes along with my Olympics thing. Like, I like the inspiring sports story part of it.
Right.
When somebody's, like, they're carrying somebody across the line and they, like, it's amazing. So, sure. Yeah. Yay. I'll watch that.
Yeah. Let me amend mine. I'm half full on marathon season because I enjoy tuning in every now and then, just, you know, whenever the big ones are going on, just to watch these people do like 4 minute miles for 26 miles. It's amazing. They're booking,
like,
and I'm huffing and puffing at like 10 minute miles up in the trail. So yeah.
As a sports fan, I'm into it. Tim from Austin says, unless it's marathon drinking, I have no interest. It's not healthy, buddy.
Whole different show.
Really is.
All right. What else we got?
One more?
Half full or half empty on oat milk.
Oat milk.
Oh.
Yeah. What is Oatly? Oatly's having its IPO.
Oatly. Oatly went public this week. I think it's up. Let's see. It was 17% yesterday, another 8-ish% today. Oat milk is very big. I would just ask everybody to remember, well, soy milk was very big and almond milk was very big. And now I guess oat milk's going to be big. I know it's terrible for the environment. Don't at me. But I'm a whole milk guy in my coffee in the morning. Milk, cow juice. That's where I am.
Oh, I'm half and half. I will even take it up from there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I'll go heavy cream if I can. Like, there's no shame in my fat game at all. Fat doesn't make you fat, man. Sugar does. Sugar does.
Fat doesn't make you fat. Got the episode title. Fat doesn't make you fat.
Doesn't. Sure. Oh, I've tried some oat milk. I bought some early in the pandemic because it's very shelf stable.
Shelf stable. That's exactly right. As we were all stockpiling toilet paper, some of us threw oat milk on the shelf. We did in my house.
I totally did. And, you know, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
So, sure. Half
there
full.
You go.
Why not?
There you go. My kids like it. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow. That was a lot.
I'm exhausted.
I don't even know what that was.
Yeah, I love that game. Love it. The game itself is like a marathon of topics. Heyo.
Kinda.
I don't know. I really
be here all week, folks. Tip your weight.
I shouldn't be allowed to have this microphone today. I'm a little off the rails.
It's all good. It's all good. All right, we're done. We are done. Back on Monday. Questions, comments, voicemails, take your pick. Make me smart at marketplace.org. Hit us up. My goodness.
The YouTube Drew, I'm telling you, the people want to see stable real them. The people demand.
The people want to see Drew Jostad, I'm saying.
Drew Jostad. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera, the always patient and ever talented Marissa Cabrera. Our digital producer, Tony Wagner, is on vacation. Helping us out is on-demand intern Mark A. Green, the new guy, and social media producer Mel Rosenberg. That is Mel in the YouTube comments today. Just crushing it. Just moderating, hanging out, being awesome. Our video producer is Stephen Bion. Stephen, get on this Drew thing. Our social media intern is Emily McCune. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters. And our Make Me Smart explainers.
It's real-time testing.
I'll send him a webcam. Real-time testing. I got
Steven,
like six.
Get on the camera thing for Drew.
Steven.
Move.
Make it happen.
Drew Jostad was in charge today of pretty much the second half of the program. Also, all the buttons and dials down at World Headquarters. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez, you know what they do. Donna Tam is the senior producer, doubting her life choices right now. Star Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. And there we go. Whew.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.